Jack Kerfoot is with us. What will America's energy revolution mean for our pocketbook? And let's head to the phones. Good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Gene. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
It is a pleasure to have you with us as well. Jack is a scientist, energy expert, author of Fueling America, An Insider's Journey, been interviewed on numerous shows, both on television and radio across the country. So with that, Jack, tell us a little bit more about you and your passion in this area, please.
Well, actually, after I started university, after I returned from Vietnam, it was in the 1970s when the U.S. had a oil embargo. And in the 1970s, when the U.S. provided support to Israel, when Israel was attacked, many of the Arab states put on an oil embargo against the U.S., and it created absolute chaos in the United States. There were gas stations out of gasoline. The economy was actually in turmoil. We were in double-digit inflations. And so at that time, when I was in university, I decided to pursue a degree in geophysics and initially went into the oil and gas industry, where I've spent in the energy industry a total of about 40 years. But as time has evolved and our understanding of energy has changed, and also seeing the changes starting with the 2005 Energy Act, which had incentives, tax incentives for the renewable energy, fossil fuel, and nuclear energy, you could start to see the dynamics of the world starting to change. First of all, obviously, fossil fuel creates greenhouse gases, but also CO2 emissions for air quality. So I've become an advocate for renewable energy, although I certainly recognize the importance of oil and gas in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Our nation's capacity to produce renewable energy just surpassing coal for the first time. So big news there, certainly. But should we be surprised by that in terms of what's going on in America, around the world?
Well, actually, energy isn't really what I call a mainstream news topic. So mm-hmm. It would be probably a surprise to most. Really, it started in 2005 with the oil prices spiking again over $100 a barrel. And the U.S. passed a bipartisan bill for the Renewable Energy Act, which again provided tax credits for oil and gas, renewables, and nuclear power. The key thing from the act was there were breakthroughs in technology in oil and gas and renewable energy. In the oil and gas sector, we had hydraulic fracking, and that reversed America's decline in domestic oil and gas production, and also finally resulted in very cheap, inexpensive natural gas for utilities, and those utilities began to move from coal to natural gas. In the renewable energy sector, what we've actually seen is new technology and improving the output of operating efficiency for wind turbines and also solar panels. So in 2007, wind farms and solar parks began sprouting up across the United States, primarily initially in the Great Plains states from Minnesota down to Texas. And today, the cheapest form of power without any incentives are actually onshore wind and solar energy.
Mm-hmm. We have a ton of wind turbines around here in northwest Missouri. We have a lot of them in Iowa. And so what's your take on wind energy and the future of wind energy, wind turbines?
Well, actually, what we're seeing is the price now has dropped so low, the cheapest form, if you take out all subsidies whatsoever, the cheapest form of power is actually onshore wind. It's about 5.2 cents a kilowatt hour, and the average cost of electricity in the United States is about 12.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So for that cost alone, that's why you're seeing more and more wind turbines appear. And the next cheapest cost for power is solar, followed by hydro, and then natural gas. So what I expect you're going to see is continued growth in both wind onshore and solar. But the next big push is going to be in the United States is going to be offshore wind. The strongest winds are always offshore compared to onshore because the trees and the mountains break up the wind patterns. So you're going to see, just like you've had in Europe over the past decade, major developments starting, first of all, in the East Coast, from Maine down to Virginia. Major offshore wind projects are in the process of being developed and approved. And those are basically going to be used to replace primarily coal, but occasionally nuclear power plants on the eastern region of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it's not just an environmental factor, it's a cost factor. Right now, with the cost of coal, the highest quality coal has been virtually mined out. So it's taking more of the lower quality coal to generate the same amount of power. So the cost of coal on a cost per kilowatt hour is almost triple the cost of onshore wind and probably double the cost for offshore wind. And we're seeing the wind costs, as the technology improves, continue to drive down these costs. So I think for the most of the U.S., where there's strong winds, which includes the Northeast, the Great Plains, and the West Coast, wind will continue to be a growing source of power for our utilities and for businesses around the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Got about a minute and a half left. What policies could the federal and state governments be implementing to help here, if, besides the ones they already are?
Well, I think the next thing, what people fail to realize is probably the biggest impediment to renewable energy or any power plant is the permitting process. You have to go through city, county, state, and federal approval. So looking for ways to expedite and streamline those processes will make it easier to bring on new power plants quite easily and more efficiently, driving down costs. Continuation of the tax credits, of course, will also continue the push away from coal to lower-cost renewable energy.
Mm-hmm. There is a solar farm in Adams County here in our listening area. How are we doing with solar energy?
Solar actually is the next big push. If you look at, particularly in the Great Plains states up in Nebraska and Iowa, you're seeing a major push in that area. California has been a leader in solar for a long time, but now you're seeing states like Iowa and Oklahoma and Texas really surge in the development of solar. Particularly in rural areas, it is a very effective technique for those community areas and municipalities to put in a relatively modest-sized solar farm to provide power for the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see one west of Corning there in Adams County. Jack, thanks so much for being with us. Jack, the author of Fueling America, An Insider's Journey. How can we learn more about that and you?
Well, I have a webpage at www.jackkerfoot.com. It's my website, and I post out there, and also my book is on Amazon.com, Fueling America, An Insider's Journey.
Awesome stuff. Jack, thanks.
Thank you, Dean. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure.